This podcast is produced by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President, simplifying a complex money world with investment programs to match a range of investment goals and life situations. And now today's podcast.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, May 22nd, 2017 edition of Invest Talk. And I'd like to welcome everybody here. And as always, our goal is to help you become a better than average investor and hopefully not make the mistakes that most make, which is chasing returns and buying into hype and really buying when everyone else is buying, following the herd, right? And usually when that happens, you make a bad decision. You tend to go after what everyone else is talking about, right? You think whatever is on the internet or your friends are talking about is the best investment opportunity out there. And frankly, it's usually not. It's usually once by the time you heard about it on TV or read about it in the paper or heard about it from your cousin, you know, it's you're too late. You're late to the game. And so we see this often, and I actually see this regularly on the calls that we get into the show. It's very interesting to see that dynamic of how the psychology works with the individual investor. And in a lot of ways, it helps us manage our assets better for our clients because we see kind of where the overhype lives. And we tend to avoid that and short term, sometimes, you know, you miss out on a little gains, but, you know, more longer term, you avoid some of the pitfalls. So, you know, our goal each and every weekday is to really get you to hone in on what matters, to share the relevant information that is important for you and to make good, sound decisions, not just with your investments and not with your 401k and your IRA and any brokerage accounts that you might have, but also just have the right frame of mind. And that's really where I think our value to our listeners comes through the most, is to really get everyone in the right frame of mind to making good decisions. And that's with everything, right? It's looking at the bigger picture, higher level, and that will allow you to guide your decision making in a way that will be better than the average, avoid the pitfalls, and get to a place where you're on a system, right? You're on a regiment. You're on something that you know and are confident is going to last a long, long time and be able to guide you through the ups and downs in the market, right? So many people get caught up in kind of what happened over the last year, 2 years, or 3 years, or even in today's world, it's almost like the last 2 months is what everyone cares about, and everyone's trying to chase the next big thing. And really, that's not what the stock market's about. You can do it. You can be a momentum investor, and there's a lot of risk that goes involved with that. And you can succeed, but most people don't over the long term. And that's why we're value investors. We look at the fundamentals of companies, and we're conservative by nature. And for some people, frankly, that doesn't jive with who they are. There are many people out there that are okay with high risk, and they want to chase the high flyers of the world, the Bitcoins of the world, right? The exciting stories that are out there. And frankly, that's just not us. That's just not who we are, and that's not how we manage money. That's not how we think is a good frame of mind to have over the long term. And so that's why I say our frame of mind that we can help give investors is the most important thing that we can offer to them. So when you're listening, hope that comes through. I hope you understand that there are different ways to be successful in this. Our way is one way. Doesn't mean it's the only way. There have been successful investors throughout the decades with different investing styles. But we feel that value investing in a fairly conservative approach is something that will be sustainable and long lasting. And so that's why we do this every day, is to impart that knowledge of what we're about and what we think our listeners need to be thinking about on a daily basis, and hopefully give you some perspective on all of that news and stories that are flying around the world each and every day. And I know it can be difficult. It can be a lot to handle. And you don't know really what to think or how this fits into the picture, right? So many people are focused on the one story or the one company or the one asset class, and they're focused on that excitement of that momentum or the story of what it could be in the future, and they're not looking at that in the big picture of their whole financial life. And that's one of our goals as well, is to get you kind of diversified in your knowledge base of we get a lot of calls about stocks, and that's great, and I can answer individual stock questions, but it's even more important to understand, okay, how does real estate fit in? How do bonds fit in? How does a 401k versus an IRA differ? And what works best based on your goals? And you have to understand those in a dynamic fashion, and then you can really hone in on what is important for you in particular. And that's our goal each and every weekday. Now, as a reminder, I want to let you know about our free live wealth webinar coming up May 31st. That's a week from Wednesday. This one's about real estate investing and the basics of residential real estate investing. And I think this is going into what I talked about, diversifying your knowledge base, understanding cash flows and liquidity and profitability and tax ramifications and the diversification benefits that real estate can offer. And it's not for everybody, but it can be for the right person. But you need to go into it with your eyes wide open. So this is the perfect webinar for the hands-on investor who wants to explore the profit potential of residential real estate investing. And I will be hosting it along with the head of my team, licensed real estate agent and investor Chevy Axon. And we'll show you what you need to know to be successful in that endeavor. We're gonna show you how to succeed with long-term rentals, pros and cons of vacation rentals, as well as analyzing some current market opportunities. And, you know, how that fits in to your potential plan. So it's coming up once again on May 31st. At 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific time, and you can sign up for free. You just have to go to investtalk.com. You'll see the link there. Now, we welcome your questions along the way for this hour. Our listener line is open at 888-99-CHART. That's our anytime line. As always, we are live 4 to 5 Pacific time each and every weekday, but you can always give us a call and leave your message, and we will answer it on the next program. Now, do you have a question about building a portfolio that's fit for today's changing financial marketplace and your individual situation and risk tolerance? Give us a call. You can get through right now with any money questions at 888-99-CHART. That's 888-992-4278. So let's take this question that came in before today's program.
Hey, Stephen, Justin. This is Aaron calling from Chicago. I had a question about speculative play. I don't know if you guys have been probably following the cryptocurrencies, the altcoins. It seems like in the last like month or two, they've really just been tearing it up with really large gains. So I was thinking about putting a position in with maybe like 3-5% of my portfolio, realizing that it's, you know, highly volatile speculative play. Just kind of curious what you guys thought, if they were kind of in a bubble, it's too late already to the game, or what you thought about it. Just be curious about your opinion. All right, thanks. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Appreciate it. Bye.
Well, he's looking to invest in some sort of cryptocurrency, whether that's Bitcoin or some of the other ones that are out there. Bitcoin's had a big run. If I'm looking at a GBTC, which is the Bitcoin Investment Trust, it's an ETF that tracks Bitcoin. It's gone from, April, about 112 to 220. So it's doubled in the past just couple months. And I talked a little bit earlier in the show about how when I get calls like this, it always makes me a little weary of that space, because it shows that investor psychology, and especially after a big run like this, usually when the average investor is so excited about it like this, usually it's probably peaked out or close to peaking out. So I'm not, after this huge run, I definitely wouldn't be adding to it here. It's an area that I think has some merit because of the central bankers around the world printing money and creating money out of thin air, which I do think is disastrous to some degree. And the idea behind Bitcoin is certainly has some merit. My worry is about the logistics and the safety of holding a Bitcoin because of the hacks and all that really worry me. And that's why long term, I still am pretty skeptical of Bitcoin, but obviously the price is moving up, but I guess that can happen in any environment. The question is gold Bitcoin in a bubble? I would say probably yes, but I it's such a new thing and so few people are invested in it, even though the average investor seems to be hyped up on it because of the recent moves. It's a hard thing for me to really analyze in this way because of how new it is. So after the recent move, it's extremely high risk. It's not something I would be investing in long term, but it does have momentum. So if you're okay with the risks, which are substantial, I could easily see this dropping back 30, 40, 50% in a very short period of time. So if you're okay with that risk and you're a momentum, I guess, quote unquote investor, in this case, this is a speculator. You're a momentum speculator. Have a tight out or have some sort of out, whether that's probably, it's probably gonna need a 20% at least berth to make sure you're not getting swung out of it because of how big the swings can be. But if you are a momentum investor, that's great for you. It's not something I would touch, but hey, if you're a momentum investor, it could be a good investment, a good speculation, shall we say. I'm financial advisor Justin Klein. Steve has a couple of check updates to tell you about. Now, if you live near Orange County here in Southern California, we'll be meeting listeners in our Dana Point office on the 25th. It's just a few days away. It's Thursday of this week. Then he'll be in San Jose on June 14th. These are individual meetings that give you time to look over your current retirement portfolio and get a second opinion. Now, to set aside your time, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Invest Talk tab. 8899 Chart is our live listener line every weekday from 4 to 5 Pacific Time.
Hi, gentlemen. This is Donna calling from Vancouver, Washington. I'd like your insight on Intel, INTC. Is this a good time to buy? Thanks, guys. Bye-bye.
All right, she's looking at Intel Corporation. I think everybody knows Intel and what they do. I don't want to go over that, but their revenue is increasing in the high single digits area. And for a $168 billion company, you know, a high single digits growth rate is okay. You know, it's not terrible. They're yielding about 3%. Let me look at the technicals real quick. You know, it's kind of gone sideways pretty much for a year or so. It was at this level back in July of last year and, you know, bounced around between the high 30s and the low 30s. And now it's in the mid 30s, 35, 75 today. Let me look at the statistics. Earning yield is about 8%. You know, I don't dislike it. You know, the payout ratio is only 44%, so they could certainly raise their dividend. They have good cash flow. I like that. It's either consolidating to take another leg up or consolidating to take another leg down. I don't think it's a great value here. It's not certainly super overvalued, but I would just give it like a so-so. So I don't love it, and I would not buy it here. 8899 Chart, give us a call. 8899 Chart, 888-992-4278. So you get through and ask your question on this hour. Now, how to fully fund your retirement, owning truly diversified investments, and invest in yourself. We're going to discuss the steps to building a complete financial portfolio. It's one of our main talking points today. Also, I want to talk about what are the pros and cons of an early retirement. Then do Zillow Zestimates mislead homeowners? The statistics are very, very interesting. And then is the Trump bump dead? And this economic indicator might be telling us so. And possibly get to that and email as well. But ultimately, we want to hear from you. 888-99-CHART is how you reach us on this hour. And I urge everyone to call in sooner rather than later. Check on the market today. The S&P was up 12. The NASDAQ up about 50. And the Dow up 90. About a modest update overall. And it seems like the market has quickly shaken off the big down day on the Comey news that Comey was going to, what was it last week? He was going to, that Comey had a memo that said that Trump asked him to stop the investigation, right? And that certainly increased speculation that there could potentially be a impeachment and that really killed the market, but it's bounced back since then. So either the impeachment fears are dissipating dramatically, or the market's just addicted to buying the dip. So it'll be really interesting to see how this week plays out, because last week was certainly a big down week, and we're going to need to close above where we were when that drop actually happened last week. At least the day before, anyway. So it'll be interesting to see if we can actually regain those levels on the S&Ps. And that's what I'm looking for. Now let's get back to our 24-hour anytime line and pick up a question at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, Steve. Justin, this is Dave. I'm a podcast listener from Pennsylvania. I'm calling about a stock in the specialty retail space, Children's Place, tickers PLCE. I like the fundamentals of the company, although I'm not fond of the retail space in general. Now, I think specialty retail certainly has a place. The earnings look to be very good this year and forecasted for the next couple of years. Some concerns I have about this stock is it looks like it ran up pretty well since November. I certainly don't want to chase it. And the revenue and income, the data that I look at through Morningstar and FinViz, it supports the earnings increase, the very modest revenue and income increases. So if you wouldn't mind taking a look at that and let me know your opinion. It looks like it actually is coming off some support technically as well. I'm wondering if it's time to buy now. I've been watching it for a while. Thanks again. Enjoy the show.
All right. He's looking at Children's Place. They operate 1,039 children apparel stores in the U.S. and Canada. And this has been a steady grower for many years, at least profitability-wise. This is really interesting because their revenue really hasn't gone up dramatically by any stretch of the imagination. But their earnings has. Their earnings has really increased recently from, $2.32 a share back in 2013. The trailing 12 months, it's $5.40 a share. So I'm wondering what is causing that increase in profitability. They're certainly buying back their shares. They're doing that with their cash flow. They're not taking on a ton of debt to do it, which I like that. A little bit increase in debt, but nothing too dramatic. Cash flow remains positive, but in relation to the market cap, actually, it's pretty good. $2 billion market cap, $165 million in free cash flow, which is solid. So valuation-wise, it's not bad. I really need to understand in the retail space, this is doing so well, why so many other retailers are not doing so well. So my question is, why is that? I really need to understand that dynamic and what are they doing differently that's allowing them to fight the Amazon trend. And clearly the stock and earnings have gone up so dramatically that it's something that is a little dumbfounding to me. In a certain way. So I need to get clarity on that picture. But valuation-wise, it's certainly not overpriced. Its operating earnings yield is about 7.25%, which is decent. I don't love it, but it's decent. Their dividend yield is about 1%. And their payout ratio is extremely low in relation to that dividend yield. So they certainly could hike it, but it looks like they're buying back shares. They announced it in March, they're going to buy back $250 million $1 worth of common stock, which is about a little over 10% of their market cap. And they do have some cash in their balance sheet, and they're doing fairly well overall. So it's not a bad value. It has good momentum. I just need to understand the space. I need to know, what are they doing to really fight the Amazon trend? And if I could understand that and I believe in that in a sustainable manner, then I'd buy it. But until I really understand that, then I'd probably hold off, because I don't see a reason why the children's apparel space would be that much different than the rest of the retail space. And until I understand that story, I wouldn't buy it. But valuation-wise, it's okay. Now, don't forget, Invest Talk is a two-way conversation. Let's hear your money question, or maybe you'd like to share your investing experience. This is Invest Talk. Give us a call at 888-99-CHART.
Invest Talk continues next. First, a couple of words for KPP Financial and reason number two for a portfolio checkup with Steve. You need to rebalance your portfolio. Well, reducing risk is the number one priority for everyone these days. In a low interest rate environment, you crave those great returns that stocks can give, but you're afraid of too much risk. So what's the formula? Steve can help you rebalance your portfolio for today's market. And there's never a charge for a complete portfolio checkup for InvestTalk listeners, and no obligation of any kind. To schedule your one-to-one, one-hour checkup with Steve, just go to investtalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, and then Portfolio Review, or you can call 888-99-CHART and follow the prompts. Now let's continue with the podcast. InvestTalk continues on a service of KPP Financial, for more than 20 years helping Americans plan their retirement years with confidence. Our InvestTalk Live listener line is open, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. We have about 25 minutes left in the show, so get your call in sooner rather than later. Now let's talk about steps to building a complete financial portfolio. Now, the first thing you're going to need to do, everybody, right, who needs to get their house in order, their financial house in order, is to take a stock of your life. Meaning, you need to get a balance sheet together of your entire financial picture, right? You need to, any old accounts, old 401ks, or accounts you probably don't even think about, right, it might be a couple thousand dollars you don't even deal with, right? You got to bring all of those accounts onto one central place and make sure you can add up all your bank accounts and 401ks and IRAs and other brokerage accounts, right, together, and figure out how much those financial assets are worth. Okay, then your physical assets, any valuables like gold and silver and jewelry, and what does that add up to in value? And then look at your debts. What are your debts? Credit card debt, mortgage, student loans, car debt, any other type of debt that you might have out there that you're going to have to pay towards over time. That's you got to bring all those together into one place. Okay, so the key to changing your life is to determine exactly where you stand in this moment in time. So this balance sheet is going to be extremely important to go and craft a plan going forward. And then you need to commit to the change, okay, that is going to be needed after you do that full assessment of your balance sheet. Then you first thing you do is you make sure you contribute to your 401k with your employer match. Now, the amount of these matching contributions vary between company to company, but the free cash that you're getting is irreplaceable. There's no other place that you can get instant 100% return on your money or 50% return on your money. Whatever they match, it's usually dollar for dollar or 50 cents in the dollar. And it's impossible to get that anywhere else. So you can't afford not to contribute, is really what it is. And then you consider these funds also grow tax deferred over 20, 30, 40, 50 years. The opportunity cost at retirement can be millions of dollars. So you must contribute to your 401k up to the amount that your employer matches. Now, if your employer doesn't match, you probably shouldn't contribute anything until you get a few other steps completed first. And that would be, first is pay off any high interest debts. And what you need to do is take your balance sheet and rank all of your debts by interest rate from highest interest rate down to the lowest. Then make any contributions that you're making to any other investment accounts besides your 401k match, you need to temporarily stop and start focusing on debt reduction. So you pay a minimum balance on all the other debts except for the highest rank on that list, meaning the debt with the highest interest rate. And you start paying that down. Any dollar that you can afford to send at it, you start paying that down. Then when you wiped out the balance on that highest interest rate credit card or debt on your balance sheet, cut up that credit card and put it in a drawer, okay? Maybe not cut it up, but at least put it away in a drawer. Don't charge any more on it. Get rid of it completely. You're done with it. You don't cancel the card because that affects your credit score, but just put it in a drawer. Make sure you don't charge anything else. And then the next highest on that list, start paying that down next. And until you have all your debts paid off, okay? And then once you have all your debts paid off, then you want to open probably a Roth IRA. What's great about a Roth IRA is that the contributions to a Roth IRA can be withdrawn at any time without any penalty. So it's like a savings account where you can invest in really anything you want. Stocks and bonds and mutual funds, ETFs, whatever you want. You have a lot of flexibility. Now, you can't take out any growth of that money until you're 59 and a half without penalty, but at least the contributions you can take out at any time. Now, there's no mandatory distribution age as well, so you can hold on to that money for as long as you want, or hang on to that account for as long as you want, and maybe potentially pass it on to your kids. Now, where the regular IRA, you have at 70 and a half, you'd have to take required minimum distributions. With a Roth IRA, you don't have to do that. Roth IRA contributions can be used to purchase a lot of different things. Like I said, if you've been unemployed for longer than 12 weeks, you can use the Roth IRA funds to pay medical insurance premiums without penalty. Any medical expenses in excess of 7.5% of your gross adjusted income can also be paid for without penalty by your Roth IRA. All right. Then you need to, after that, then think about becoming a homeowner. But you do need to understand the costs that are involved. You definitely want to put 20% down. Don't pay PMI. If you can't put 20% down, odds are you can't afford to buy a home. So don't stretch yourself, especially in this market, to buy a home unless you have 20% down. There are a lot of costs. You need to understand the homeowner's insurance costs, utility bills, home repair potential costs, lawn care, property tax, etc. All those are very, very important to understand. Then next is building a six-month emergency reserve. You need to have 6 months of expenses. And how much expenses? Well, you have to add up your mortgage payments, insurance costs, utility bills, grocery costs, fixed payments like car payments, student loans, etc. And then any minimum payments on credit cards. All that adds up to what your monthly expenses probably are, and then multiply it by six, and that's what your emergency fund should be. And you want to either put that in a money market account or maybe ladder some CDs 30 days out, 60 days out, 90 days out, etc. Then after that, then you want to start contributing to a brokerage account of some type. Whether that's and you want to figure out who you want to work with. Do you want to work with an advisor like myself and Steve, you know, an RAA, a fiduciary, hopefully, like we are, that is your best interest in mind? Or do you want to do it yourself? And some people have the wherewithal and the ability to do that. Some don't. And then lastly, you want to invest in yourself, increase your education, whether it's going back to school or just getting credentialed or whatever. so you can increase your income over time. And then lastly, save your for your children's education, but don't do it until you've fully funded your retirement first. So those are kind of the steps that you need to take to make sure that your financial house is in order, and it's a pretty good step-by-step guide. So I hope that was helpful for everyone out there. Now, we're here for you, beginner or experienced investor, at 888-99-CHART. If you're a podcast listener and can't reach us during our live program, 4 to 5 Pacific time, you can record your question on our any timeline. And once again, 888-99-CHART is that number, and we will answer it on the next program.
Hi, Steve or Justin. I listened to the podcast. It's a great show. Thank you very much. I had a question about a recent statement you made on one of your recent episodes about how stock prices can move up or down based on low volume or high volume. And high volume means more trades are actually made to back up the movement of a stock. But how does a stock move or an index move on low volume? I was hoping you could clarify that a little bit. If stocks move based on trades, if there's low trades, how does it move, if that makes any sense? I'll wait for your answer on the podcast. Thank you very much. Bye.
All right, it's probably a statement made by Steve, but because I don't remember it. But basically, what the easy explanation is that when there is high volume on a name, whether that's an individual stock or an ETF, the spread between the bids and the asks tends to be very small because there's a lot of volume, a lot of interest to buy and sell that particular security, and therefore the volatility tends to be a little lower. Whereas low volume names, the spread between the bid and ask tends to be higher, meaning it could be 10 cents. So if it's a $10 stock and it moves 10 cents, that's 1% of the value of the stock. And so that volatility, every time a trade happens, the buyer needs to go up to the seller, the ask, right? The bid and the ask need to meet at some point. And if that spread is wide, then the movement tends to be bigger. On a liquid stock, where there's a lot of volume, maybe that's only a penny or 2 pennies, and therefore that volatility becomes a lot less. So high volume names tend to be less volatile overall, and low volume name tends to be more volatile because as large movements tend to happen, it's easier for them to happen in low volume names because of that large spread. And when there is a big movement, there tends to be less buyers or less sellers in the marketplace, so the price tends to overshoot as well. So hopefully gives you a little clarity on what the difference between, or the volatility difference is between high volume names and low volume names. Now, whether you're just getting started or currently an owner of rental properties already, our free real estate webinar will shed light on how professionals look at investing in real estate. The Basics of Residential Real Estate Investing, a free live webinar, May 31st, 6:30 to 7:30 Pacific Time. All you have to do is register to go to investtalk.com. That's investtalk with two T's, investtalk.com. Click on the InvestTalk tab.
Here's a KPP investment program that may suit you. KPP is excited about Active 401k. It's a new system that can help meet a serious challenge for the average investor: how to make informed choices within the limits of their employer's 401k plan. Well, if you'd like to know more about it, just go to investtalk.com, click on the Investments tab, and look for Active 401k.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through. We have about a little over 10 minutes left in the show, so if you're going to call, you should probably do it sooner rather than later. Now, what are the pros and cons of early retirement? And many of us still dream of an early retirement, retiring early, and actually Steve did that. He was in the insurance industry for a long time, and he retired in his early 40s, and he wanted to do something that he really loved and cared about, and that's why he became. That's why he bought half of KPP back in around 2000, and started to grow the business from there, and grow InvestTalk from there, and that's why he continues to do it to this day, because he loves doing it. So that's potential pro of being uh, of of retiring early, and about 37% of Americans plan to retire before the age of 65. And the average age at which today's retirees report that they are retired is actually 62. It's a little bit earlier on average. Now, sometimes that's job loss that's forcing it, health problems or family responsibilities that can disrupt the best laid retirement plans, you know, forcing people out of the workforce sooner than expected. And that can happen. But let's go into the pros and cons of retiring early. Now, it could be good for your health. A 2002 study of British civil servants, for example, found that retiring at the age of 60 had no effect on the subject's health. And those with high-level jobs, meaning tend to be high-stress jobs, tend to have improved mental health when they do retire. Number two, you enjoy more time for traveling. The sooner you retire, the more years you'll have before health issues begin to limit your mobility. Number three, it's an opportunity to start a new career. Now, if you dream of switching fields, like I talked about with Steve, starting your own business, switching careers sooner rather than later, maybe a good way to go. So those are kind of the pros. Now, what are the cons? Well, it actually could also be bad for your health. Now, a 2008 study said that the average retiree had a decline in mobility and mental health as well. So it can be good or bad for your mental health. And also an increase in other poor health outcomes like heart disease and stroke. So that's one argument for delaying retirement. Now, the main thing is that these problems aren't inevitable. The report also said that retirees who remain physically active and socially connected were less likely to suffer any ill effects from retirement. So if you are to retire early, you just have to make sure that you're not sitting there doing nothing every day, right? And you're not exercising. You know, you got to make sure that you're out there exercising regularly and connecting with friends and family and keeping that social ability to a maximum, and that will keep you mentally sharp. Number two is your Social Security benefits will be smaller if you retire early. The sooner you start to take Social Security, the lower your benefits will be. Now, if you have enough money to wait until you're 70 until you actually take Social Security, then retiring early isn't really a big deal. You just have to have the money to do so, to sustain yourself until 70 before you start taking Social Security. And that's where a financial plan comes in. That's what Steve can help people figure out, is when they can actually retire and do they have enough money to. Number three is your retirement savings will have to last a lot more years. That's kind of what I talked about, is your savings really need to be well above the average for you to really sustain yourself by retiring early. And a good rule of thumb is to multiply your expected draw on investment portfolios that will supplement Social Security and other income by 25. So whatever that is yearly, multiply that by 25. And say you need another $20,000 a year above Social Security, multiply that 25. If you have that, then you're probably in pretty good shape. Give us a call, 888-99-CHART.
Hello, Justin. Hello, Steve. It's Raphael from Jersey. Calling about valuation today. I have a question. Most of my stocks, pretty much all of them, would be what's considered high valuation stocks. But my issue is that I think that the stocks that I buy have very long range, long thesis attached to them. You know, like stuff that I've bought in the past pertaining to pet care, pet veterinary services, things like this. And that's going to, the growth of that segment will last clear beyond when I'm long gone. And so I wanted to ask you guys, do you think it's a rightful place for a stock such as one in a theme like that to have an above average PE and forward PE ratio compared to the general market? Because as I've been saying, pretty much all my stocks that I've had now for years are easily over the market's average, at least on the current or trailing PE, at least. And I wanted to get your thought. Again, to summarize, stocks that seem to have the ability to for that theme to play out for many, many years, if not decades. Shouldn't they be rightfully trading at higher multiples? Okay, just wanted to know. All right, thanks a lot, guys. Love the show. Bye.
That's a great question, and what he's talking about really is long-term growth stocks, secular trends that happen in the marketplace, and they're think of online retail as one, for example. That's a secular trend that has been going on for pretty much since the mid-90s, a couple decades now, and online sales have been growing throughout the business cycle. Maybe a little bit less when there's a recession, but overall it continues to grow. And that is an example of a secular trend. And those that are taking advantage of a secular trend, they tend to trade at a little bit premiums because they tend to grow at an above average pace. And so, yes, they do deserve a little bit of a premium. Now, the issue usually with those is that if for whatever reason that growth slows, they get hit quickly and dramatically. And that can be for various reasons. It can be for another type of technology to come around that maybe replaces that secular trend, replaces that proprietary technology that company might have. Think of BlackBerry, for example, right? They were making smartphones before the iPhone came around, and they were part of the secular trend towards smartphones, but they got out-innovated. And so their stock got hit dramatically because of it. And this is a example of, yes, you're in the right trend, but other companies and competitors can out-innovate you and beat you to the punch. And that can happen at any stage in their growth cycle and either kill the company completely or just kill growth shortly. And that's why the volatility is usually higher for these type of names. When we go into the next recession, these names are going to get hit more dramatically. Why? Because naturally, their growth rates are going to slow or decline because of just less sales, less business being transacted out there in the marketplace, and then they tend to be more volatile. So you're a growth investor, and you just need to be able to handle that volatility, and that might be great for some. Over the long term, value investing outperforms growth investing. That's in general. Now, there are trends where growth does better than most, and we've been, or last, pretty much since the end of the recession, last recession, we've been in that space. We think we're transitioning to a value market, but it's still a market where growth is doing okay. Wouldn't be my strategy towards the market, but if it works for you, then great, but understand that it will be have much higher volatility than average. Now, do Zillow Zestimates mislead homebuyers? Well, there's a Chicago home builder who has filed a class action lawsuit last week against Zillow. And Zillow, for its part, maintains that its Zestimates are approximation and they're not actual appraisals. And this is something I see a lot is people will go to Zillow and they look at the Zestimate and they think that's what their home is worth. Well, the statistics actually show that about 44% of the time, the Zestimate comes within about 6% of the eventual sales price in Chicago. Now, nationwide, that's within 5% at 54% of the time, 10%, 75% of the time, and 20%, about 90% of the time. So there's about 90% of the time it'll come within 20%, but that can be a wide berth, whether higher or lower. So don't take them Zestimates as gospel, but they can be a good starting point. Now, the hour goes by fast. I thank you for listening and joining in today. You can reach me directly with a question or a comment. Just go to investtalk.com and click on the Contact Justin button. I'll get back to you. I'm financial advisor and licensed realtor Justin Klein, Chief Executive Officer of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Steve Peasley and everyone at KPP, thank you for being with us. Join us tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis. and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.